I know we got some chomps in us, but I'm going to start off by saying, like, what the hell am I watching? What the hell am I watching?
This is where it all crumbles.
I realized that, like, if I wasn't on a podcast, if I didn't love the original IP.
We'd definitely not watch this. Yeah.
If I wasn't, like, the Asian community, I didn't realize I was so pro-Asian acting community. And I think it's secretly because I want to be an actor, but, like. Like, if it wasn't for all those things, I realized I would be shitting all over this movie.
Yeah.
Or all over the show.
I mean, we are shitting all over it.
Yeah, but I'm pulling punches is what I'm saying.
I don't think we should pull punches.
Yeah, you're right. I just
haven't been.
Yeah, I've been pulling punches a little bit. I have this secret fantasy that our podcast gets so huge and the actors listen to it. And
no.
Then, you know, they're going to hate me. And that's why I'm pulling punches. But that's silly. That's stupid.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. So your hopes have been dashed because I won't participate.
Dude, like, this is what I mean. Like, you're never angry or mad, but I'm, we've been friends for long enough that I can sense when you're like, you're not annoyed, but you're like, nope. Like you're squashing that notion to a pulp, to a pulp.
That had never even occurred to me. So I'm well, I didn't do last episode like that was the plan. So
No. I also feel like if Netflix came to us and was like, hey, here's $50,000. Talk about the episode. Keep doing it. We love what you're doing. But you can't say this. You'd be like, we'll take the money, but I'm saying whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, to be honest, if... I think that only helps the show perform anyway, even if we do shit on it.
And create conversation.
Yeah. It wasn't all bad. And like, I've seen a lot where, like, it's partially that all of our bars for content has gone up from like a 7 out of 10 to like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
In recent years.
That's what I expect out of TV, I guess. Cause again, as I said, I don't watch that much TV.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so much content to watch. And then also, I think because we love the base IP so much, you know.
Yeah. Why don't we get into it?
Let's do it.
We have a theme song that goes like this.
I went unhinged there for a second.
You went unhinged for a second?
No, unhinged. Very different than unhinged. I had to
check real quick.
Are you unhinged or are you unhinged or both?
Welcome back, everybody, to Avatar: The First Viewing. This is the podcast where now
it all goes to shit.
two first-time watchers of the show, Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix, go through and watch the live-action series after our first-time watcher finished the original series not too long ago. And we are joined by an Avatar expert. That person is me, Eli.
I'm your Avatar newbie. I just finished watching the animated series for the first time. My name is Peter.
And today, we are talking about Season 1, Episode 2, Warriors. And this one is about the Kyoshi Island episode. This is the episode. What do we think? Oh, we kind of shared a little bit, but what are our overall thoughts? Put a bow on it.
I recently watched this Casey Neistat video on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
That was basically him being like, all that matters is story. Nothing else fucking matters. That was basically the takeaway. Yeah, he means story, but also like the sequencing of how you tell it. And God, I have nitpicks, but to be honest, the biggest thing is like the story beats and the progression of energy and like narrative is just so weak for me. And I don't know. I feel like I'm not punching down, but I feel like I'm being like slightly mean when I like pick on like acting or stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when I pick on story and direction, I feel like that's really fair game.
Yeah, of course.
And then something about the photography, like director of photography, like it's not cinematography, but like the cuts are like, I don't know why they shot it the way they did. I felt this way with other Netflix series too. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll get into it. But there's some things that I want to point out that I think are really good. Overall, I did feel like, the fact that I was halfway through this episode and I was like dreading having to watch through this, I'm just being honest. Like, that's how I felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to do it for the sake of our, you know, this universe and our podcast and stuff, but it wasn't fun.
Actually,
did you like this?
I had this sort of epiphany watching it. And I'm like, this is bad, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
It's bad, but I think it's because it was paced better than the last episode that I'm like, okay. I was looking forward to watching this. I was, because I really want to jump in and watch this episode.
Yeah.
We're doing this week by week, so I want to watch it close to when we record this. I watched it two days ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I felt through the week, I'm like, oh, I really want to watch the next episode. As bad as it is.
I mean, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. But to me, it was such a bad sign that, like, around the 20-30 minute mark, I would love to see the churn curves throughout the show. It's just not there. It's just not there.
Yeah. It's not there.
I just think there's enough breadcrumbs. It's like season 4 of Breaking Bad, or like season, what is it, like 5 of Game of Thrones. It's like, I'm not going to churn, but I hate that you're giving me the bare minimum for me to not churn, you know?
I thought season 4 was the best season of Breaking Bad.
I'm getting the seasons off, but there's one season that really dragged. Okay, how about like season 2 of Attack on Titan?
Yeah, that one, that was not good.
Yeah. Or like it was good, but like it was just so slow. You just feel like you were slogging through
it. Yeah, because season 1 was like every episode at the end, you're like, wow, I can't wait to bangers. Go to see where the story goes from here.
Bangers, yeah.
Yeah, these big cliffhangers. And Game of Thrones is really good about that too. I think that's why it ended up being so popular.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I watched it, I was like falling asleep the first 3 episodes. But then I remember episode 4 specifically.
Yeah.
And it starts out and it's trying to explain Bran having his powers.
Yeah.
The three-eyed raven.
Yeah. Every episode ended with this big cliffhanger. Yeah, and I was like, I gotta start the next one. It was the banger.
Like, HBO, you did it again. Like, that's how I felt about that show.
Yeah, totally. But this show, it's to me, I'm absolutely throwing it in there with Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power.
You think it's the good bad?
Yes. This is going on my like worst of the year list for sure.
Oof.
It's definitely in there with Rings of Power. That being said, I liked watching that show because
Would you watch it again? No.
Yeah. It's mostly about my curiosity that I want to watch this. It's not about, I don't come out of the show and I'm like, wow, what an experience. I feel like I've participated in.
Yeah.
And something that touches a part of me. No part of me is being touched. Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Netflix, Hollywood is obsessed with fantasy worlds now. Because it lets them expand the IP, stretch it thin like a freaking, I don't know, something that stretches.
Crepe.
Like a thin, thin crepe. We're going to watch it because we love the universe.
That's really the reason I'm watching it.
Yeah. But it's so dilutive.
Yeah.
It's so dilutive.
I watch this for a completely different reason that I watch other TV. There's shows that I watch, I'm like, this is good, and I watch it.
Yeah.
Then there's shows that is, this is bad, and I watch it, which is like Love is Blind. Right?
Oh, yeah, because
Nikki watches that.
That's straight up good bad.
Terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
There are some flashes of brilliance in that show.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's good TV. It's good reality. Yeah. But that's they know what it is. They're not spending...
Yeah.
Millions of dollars on CGI.
Yeah, they don't need to.
Obviously. You know?
This show I watch, it's purely, it's like watching a car crash in front of you. Maybe it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Okay, it's like watching someone spill their plate of food on the ground. And you're like looking at, huh?
No, it's, I'm stealing this. I forget who said this, but it's like watching your local high school theater perform. Yes.
I had that feeling.
Batman Returns.
Many times. Yeah.
It's just like some things.
It's like I'm the parents in the audience like, wow, good job.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I remember when I watched this movie when it came out and it won an Oscar. And now our local high school theater is doing it. That's so cool. Yeah.
And you're just curious. You're like, how are they going to adapt this scene? How are they going to do this? And you see it and you're like, well, obviously not as good as the original, but good job for trying, guys. Yay.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's why I'm split. If my kid was like, doing Avatar the musical.
Yeah.
Oh, God. They're going to make a James Cameron musical, aren't they? God, that's gross.
At the end of it, I'm telling all my friends. I'm like, my child is a star.
Yeah.
Everyone has to watch this. What a bright future ahead of them.
Well, you're a better man than I, because in my back, the back of my head, I'm like, if my kid is cast as Iroh and he's fucking... blowing it out his ass, I'd be like, oh, God.
Take him aside. Give him some acting lessons.
I'm, I'm really proud of you for trying, son, but in my heart, I'd be disappointed.
In your heart of hearts. You have to be, if there's one place you need to be honest, it's in your heart of hearts. And your heart of hearts is telling you this ain't it.
This ain't it, kid.
All right, let's hop into our newbie recap. Yep, yep. They're at the Southern Air Temple. They decide it's time to make our way across. Sokka's like, we don't even know this guy. We don't even know him. Let him go. Katara's like, we got to save the world. And so they agree and they go. They leave. They meet Momo. And then they land on Kyoshi Island. And I can't remember, what was the reason why they said they wanted to go there specifically? Was there a reason?
Yeah, Aang explains it away by saying, maybe going to near Kyoshi will help me learn something about the Avatar State.
Right. So he did know about his past lives. He's like, all right. So they go there. They meet the locals there. They're very isolationist. They say, we don't allow outsiders. Suki tries to explain to her mom, no, we have to. She's this idealist. She's like, we have to let in the outsiders. How dare we shut our doors to them? And her mom says, okay, fine. And then Sokka and Suki are kind of just immediately into each other. They're flirting, and then Suki spies on him changing. It's a little weird. And then Aang is kind of being his little jovial self again. Sokka does his training. They kind of have a different interpretation of the events from the original show. He doesn't underestimate Suki. It's kind of like flirting with each other, and then they're using training as a way to like spend time with each other because they both like each other.
Yeah.
All the while, Zuko is trying to track down the Avatar, and so they try to see if they can get information without revealing their true purpose. And so they go to Commander Zhao. And Commander Zhao is also very cagey, where he is kind of reading what's happening, not telling them, and secretly planning on also going after the Avatar. And that brings us roughly to the middle of the episode. So, Peter, you want to continue?
No. what happens here? I mean, yeah, so the Aang gang gets to stay in the Kyoshi Island for 48 hours. And they're by the big Kyoshi statue trying to figure shit out, like reading ancient journals or scrolls or whatever to figure things out. Aang is up by the statue, like meditating in it. He actually goes into the spirit world and talks to Kyoshi, who's like kind of intensely lecturing him to take this seriously or something. Yeah, it was a divergence. We'll touch on that. Meanwhile, Commander Zhao and Zuko show up on the island to try and figure out like, oh, we heard there's guests. We heard of a flying cow over here. So there's a confrontation between Suki's mom and Commander Zhao, who I ship a little bit. just kidding. Maybe not. And the fight breaks out between the Firebenders and the Kyoshi Warriors. Meanwhile, Zuko is closing in on Aang, but Aang enters the Avatar state and turns into a fierce Kyoshi. And Kyoshi's like bending all this shit, blows Zuko away.
She does the thing where all four elements are around her at once, like how it was.
I don't think it was four, was it?
You know what? Did she earthbend? She definitely water, fire, and airbended.
Yeah, but in the swirl, I don't think I saw fire.
No, she had like little jets.
Okay. Maybe it was all four then. Yeah, and then she, Neo Superman, like, boom, lands in the middle of the fight on the island. And then she does the swirl bending tornado typhoon thing. They all back off, obviously, because Avatar State. Aang returns once he, you know, loses the Avatar State. Kyoshi Island matriarch is like, hope, you've given us the Avatar. She doesn't literally say again, no, but she says something to believe in. And then Sokka and Suki smooch. They fly away with like a very like Pokemon episode ending kind of feeling of onto the next adventure.
Yeah.
Oh, they say they're going to the Northern Island, Northern Water Tribe, because Avatar Kyoshi planted a vision of like what might happen there.
Yeah. Also a change. She shows him the future.
Yeah. And that's the episode.
Let's skip predictions. Let's just go into, I want to start out with things we like.
Yeah.
And I actually liked a lot of things about this
episode. I did. It's just that
there's a lot of parts.
Yes.
A lot of decisions that were, I think, good decisions.
I agree.
A lot of it. But again, we'll save the crease for later.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Is like you can have expensive truffle and $100 caviar,
but it just
at the end of the day, you have to look at like what is the mouth feel, what is the taste profile experience that you have. That's my call.
You, It's like that those YouTube videos. It's like professional chef with $10 ingredients or amateur chef with $1,000 ingredients.
Yeah, yeah.
And the professional chef can make something better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We need some professional chefs is the problem. The ingredients, though, I like the ingredients of this episode. Let's get into it. First of all, Commander Zhao, I thought was really good, actually.
I agree.
I think this was a great adaptation Zhao was just more plain evil in the original. Yeah, yeah. And this one, they gave him some more nuance. He understands statecraft as well as being a general, where he's shifty. He has different motivations that you can't immediately see through. And I like that for any character in the show, because as it is now, you meet characters and you immediately know everything about them just by the first two lines they say.
Yeah.
Zhao has more behind him, and that's great. Also good acting. The scenes of him, just him speaking, I'm like, oh, this is a different type of show. This is a good show when it's him. Okay, DDK. Got a first look at DDK at the end. He's obviously great. I think Zuko was good again. Just overall, all of his lines, all of his scenes are pretty good. And then generally, the Suki Sokka storyline. When we watch the original one, the biggest problem with the original episode is that they don't have enough time for their relationship to actually grow into something.
Yeah.
They give that the time that it actually deserves here in this episode. And it feels, because you spend more time with them, you have more scenes, more screen time. Once they do kiss at the end, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, they clearly, there's more to their relationship. They explain Suki is kind of this, she kind of feels like this girl who's never met a boy. She's kind of like this princess in a castle in a way. But that, while also not at all being that, she's a princess in a castle in that it's like she's never met a boy her age almost, the way that she acts, because she's very awkward when she interacts with Sokka. It's kind of like, oh, wow, she's discovering this whole, I don't know, sexual part of herself. And none of that was explained in the original one. I also think the actor looked absolutely the part. Also, like, gorgeous actress.
Yeah, she's cutie. She's cutie.
I think her acting was really good, too, because of these choices that they made to make her this kind of awkward, doesn't know how to talk to boys character.
Yeah.
The episode is called Warriors. He learns about what it means to be a warrior. It gives him a motivation at the end, because up until this point, he doesn't really have that much of a motivation to continue, but he finds his purpose here and he sees, oh, like, I actually get a chance to become a warrior. And he does that. He doesn't just say it. He does that this episode. He fights the Fire Nation, which he's wanted to do, but hasn't had the chance to do. And no one really took it seriously in the Southern Water Tribe. So now in this adventure with Aang, he actually gets to be a warrior. I think this is great. I think they complement each other well. That's good. I have more to say about the relationship and the dislikes, though. Okay.
Yep.
And then we got a bit of this, not enough of it, but we got a bit of ha 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 oof.
Yes.
That was literally part of this episode.
Yes.
And there were scenes where Aang was like, playing and being crazy.
Yes.
Not to the extent that it was in the original where there's the fish that he wants to ride.
Yeah.
But there was some of that.
Yep.
Okay. And then I do think it makes sense story-wise for him to talk to Avatar Kyoshi in this episode. He doesn't speak with her.
Roku.
No, with Kyoshi. Because in the original one, he doesn't speak with Avatar Kyoshi until season 2.
Way later, yeah.
And this makes sense. You're going to Kyoshi Island.
I think
it makes sense. Yeah.
I thought that was a good choice. I thought I didn't feel... I was like, okay, I see you. I respect that, like, divergence. Because I think diverging meaningfully and, like, intentionally well is really hard. But it's kind of one of those, like, if you want to win gold, you have to risk doing like a triple axel, right? Like, I think to be a great adaptation, I want you to take some risks.
Yeah.
And I think like this is one that they actually did well.
Yes. I think this was a good decision. Totally makes sense. And they can also do the Roku thing later.
Yeah.
And it's a difference because Roku in the original was kind of like, that's his guy. That's his Gandalf, his Dumbledore figure. His old wise man.
Yeah.
Right. So it's cool to have, he can have both because they show right off the bat, the Avatar is more than just one mentor. The Avatar is hundreds of people, thousands of Avatars.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? I think there was one more thing. Yeah. This is another big change. They said that the Avatar state can only be entered at these Avatar temples or these Avatar shrines.
No. They said...
They didn't?
No. What they said was it's kind of like a freebie. It's at the shrines. Oh. It's not that he can't enter Avatar states in general.
You're right. Because he already did that.
Yeah. It's more that like if you're at the shrines, even someone who... That's why he was able to access Kyoshi so fluidly and like be in control and like all that stuff. In order for him to do that, he needs to really master it. like outside of the shrines, he needs to really master it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. That makes sense to me. That's all good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are your likes?
Oh, man. I got some responses to your likes and why it's like, meh. Okay. One of my likes, I thought that Commander Zhao, as well as Suki's mom, who is like a new character, were both amazing. I thought guys, it's not just about the fact that the actors are good or that they look good, which they really do. It's about how the scenes are shot and how the scenes progress. Just feel better when those actors are in the shot.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's kind of, I'm dubious. I'm suspicious that it's not that the people shooting, the showrunners and the directors from the director's chair, it's not that they weren't trying to do it with everyone, that maybe they couldn't do it for like budget reasons or for like studio notes reasons or for like the acting chops weren't there or something. I don't know. Because clearly with Suki's mom and Commander Zhao, they were able to pull off things that I really want to see more of.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Commander Zhao, like you said, the adaptation was so good. He wasn't this oafish two-dimensional character. He was a little slimy, but like very human. I don't know. More of that. I want to see more of that. And also this, he really reminded me of like the Asian period piece dramas that are deeply about statecraft and like politics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like how they were hamming up. Iroh kept cutting in front of Zuko when Zuko's just trying to be like super earnest and like show all his cards and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
And showing like, nope, there's a way to play the game. We got to play the game. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. I liked Suki's face. okay. Yeah. I liked a few scenes of the ha 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 oof that we saw. So there was the literal ha ha oof where he was outside playing with the kids. There was one scene where him and Katara are splashing water on each other. And then at the end, when he's laughing at Sokka with Momo on his head, that joke didn't land. But like every time I hear Aang talk, I'm like, oh my God, you look and sound perfect for this role.
Yeah.
Whenever he's laughing and playing, I'm like,
yeah,
let this kid be a kid.
Yeah.
You're trying to make him like be like,
yeah, this depressed Daniel Day-Lewis, child.
Like, he's amazing when he's just having fun and playing.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to see more of that. And for some reason, like, it feels choppy. Even when they do show it, it doesn't flow well. It feels like the editors have squeeze, like, the scene and chop it.
They're putting it as an aside to some other scene that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because when they show him do the haha oof, it's when Suki and Suki's mom are looking at him and talking about him. Like, he's a threat. Yeah. While that's happening, he's like, can we just have a dedicated scene
exactly
where he does that and it's just fun?
Yeah,
you know,
like there's even when some beat didn't land right, but even when Katara and Aang were just like, oh, this is awkward, like smiling, when Suki and Sokka were flirting in front of them, that was like pretty good, but like it also wasn't like kind of given the beat that it deserved, I thought, but I did like that the haha oof at least is in this show. I think that's one of those like, I'm an original fan and I deserve you to, like one of those
gimme moment.
Yeah. Give me it. Oh yeah. I agree. Zuko fucking killing his role.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Suki. I liked Kyoshi. I liked the action scene. I really felt like I was yawning for like the middle 20 minutes. And then right at the start of act three, Kyoshi boom comes out. I did have chills. Oh, and there's a new soundtrack that's like, like chanting music around Kyoshi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember the melody, but I really like that. There was a bit of cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha when Kyoshi was doing the Avatar state. So I thought that was good. I thought all of that was good. And then I have dislikes.
Just to add on to that last thing, I think the Kyoshi Warriors versus the Firebenders, generally the action was pretty good. Like, nothing to write home about necessarily.
Yeah.
Definitely not bad. Pretty good.
Oh, I also wanted to say to the hair designer on the show, I think you're great. I thought Zuko's hair looks really good as it should be. Commander Zhao's sideburns.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Iroh, obviously. And then Suki's mom is such a beautiful lady. And when her hair got all muscled up from the fire in the fight, I was like, that looks great. You look like, I don't know. I thought it was great.
Slay.
Slay. Dude. Maria Zhang, the actress for Suki, very cute, but you know, doesn't hold a candle to her mom. She's so beautiful. She's so beautiful, that mom.
Yeah, agreed. Let's move over to our dislikes.
Yip, yip.
Why don't you start?
Why don't I start? brother. I think it's really the way that it's shot and the story beats. Meaning, the first 40 minutes just dragged. And it feels like everyone is just like, this is serious and you got to take it serious.
Yeah.
And then Aang is like, but what if I don't want to be serious? And then the other person's like, but it's serious and you have no choice but to be serious.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's just mundane as fuck for me.
Which is, you know what's so weird about that is that I feel like that's kind of a criticism of season one of the animated series. It's like, it's too jovial. When people go back and watch it, you're like, but I disagree with this. Because people say, oh, but the plot has barely developed for most of season one. It's just them doing random side adventures. That is a crucial part of any show for you to really understand the dynamic between the characters, to really have a love and understanding who each of them are. And we're skipping all of that in favor of just like getting to big plot points, which is part of the limitations of having a live action show. But I agree with you. If you're making the characters be this serious all the time, as we said, I don't have time to really get to fully experience them in any other context.
Yeah.
And the characters are more than just them in perilous situations.
Yeah. And I, the same reason that I like podcasts, that people are listening to our podcast, the same reason that we love Avatar is because we feel like we're part of that gang.
Yeah.
Right. And you need the jovial nature to fall in love with the group and feel like you are part of the Aang gang. That's why I love the show, because I resonated so much with these characters. And yes, I do think technically the energy of this show does map better to the reality of the fact that you are fearful of your life, that an imperialist, jingoistic, regime is going to murder your lineage. Like,
yeah,
I think that checks out.
It makes sense.
So you're right in that sense, but that's not what this show's not about hyperrealism in that sense.
Yeah.
The show is about growing up and learning about yourself and like finding your own path, but doing it with your friends. I think the jovial nature really needs to kick in. So the energy and the energy management and the ebb and flow of the story, I thought was, it's just not there. And that's what's most important to me. I thought on the Zuko side, it does exist actually pretty well.
I agree.
It's just that like, dude, Iroh just came off fortune cookie to me.
Yes.
I'm just like, God, it just fine. If you want to adapt this character to not have the jovial jolliness, fine. But like, he's just seems like so concerned and like, I don't know.
Yeah. That was a big thing for me is I said last episode, I'm willing to give Angry Appa a chance.
Yeah.
And then in this one, it was kind of more of the same. It's like this.
No, it was strike two for me. I think
fortune cookie is the way to. Yeah. So we'll see what happens next episode, but you're right. Strike two.
There was one thing he said where I was like, what the fuck did you even say?
Yeah.
Some fortune cookie line, but okay. So that was a dislike. More on the how it's shot. So many tight shots. Every shot of the dialogue is the face takes up the whole screen.
Yeah.
And then the background is blurred to shit. And then you cut.
It's dramatic, Peter. It's dramatic.
Oh God.
And depth of field is dramatic.
No, but it's like, it's clearly like, oh, look at all the money we're saving on green screen. Like in fucking. Yeah. So it's tight shot after tight shot after tight shot. I felt so claustrophobic. And if it is a wide shot, it's an ultra wide of like. Look at the CGI Vista, like ship.
Yeah.
And it's never. And when it is a wide shot, it looks like theater stage E in a bad way.
Yeah.
And I think one of the weakest parts of the show is the blocking.
Yes.
The blocking feels so awkward. So blocking for people that aren't familiar is basically like how you position the chess pieces on the board of the stage of the set.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's video essays that are amazing about blocking and like Memories of Murder. There's one that I really like. And blocking can really make a scene in a way that like you don't really think about.
Yeah.
Just like score or music or lighting can.
A good example of this, of a show that has a incredible blocking, is Succession. Because the camera is always sort of this, it almost feels like you're listening conversations. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it does zoom in and have these same type of shots.
Yeah.
But it has a consistency to it where I know what you mean. When we're cutting around in a scene, sometimes it feels random.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like I'm in the scene with them. And then when it moves around, it's a little confusing.
The feeling is like, two people are under the blankets talking to each other.
Yeah.
And you're like a third person listening in.
Yeah.
And you just hop from one blanket to another. It doesn't feel like you're in a world. which is so important to the Avatar because it's about ecosystem. In fantasy, like, I don't feel this claustrophobia in Game of Thrones. I think Mandalorian will be a good example of, like, why it doesn't feel like you see the world and it's vivid, you know, there's good storytelling there. So I think a big reason it feels like that is because they have too many tight shots, not enough medium shots, and only super wide shots that are so CGI that, like, you can't really connect the thread there. And then the blocking is weak. So, like, when you do have, like, a medium shot, like, it's like, why are they standing there? Like, why are they standing in that way? It's very clunky and awkward.
I totally feel that. I watched this. So I have the Blu-ray.
Where is this going?
Years ago, I got the Blu-ray collection of all of the Tarantino movies.
What?
Years ago.
Including, what's his most recent
one? I got this in, like, 2012, like, right after Django came out. They released this huge collection.
No Hollywood? Okay.
No, yeah. So I remember going through the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because this is why I miss physical media is behind. I loved the behind the scenes shit for my favorite movies.
Yeah.
It's, oh man, Lord of the Rings. They had like 4 hours of behind the scenes content for like one movie. So there's this behind the scenes for the movie Inglourious Basterds. There's a scene where I can't remember her name, but she goes to a dinner with like all of the Nazi people.
Amazing scene.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love that scene.
They come out with the pie later and he puts the cream on the pie.
Yeah.
And then you're not sure if he remembers if she's the same girl that ran away from him years ago. It's a really, really good scene. She meets like all of the top brass of the Nazis.
Yeah.
And in the behind the scenes clip, they show that they would just have one camera that shoots the entire scene. It's a medium shot, right?
Yeah.
And the actors are great actors. And so they don't need to say one line, stop, move to the next thing. They can just perform the whole scene. And I feel like having that mindset, I like when directors do this because they have faith in the actors to be able to fully live out a scene. And I think that that helps them, the actors, understand how should this scene ebb and flow. And
yeah.
You're right with when the scenes feel like there's a blanket on top of them and they're saying one line and it goes to another character saying another one line, it doesn't flow. And the viewer picks up on that immediately.
Yeah, that's a great example of a director doing it amazingly.
Other dislikes?
Yeah. Let me wrap that. Oh, I did want to connect this to another adaptation that people shout on. What is it? Oh, Cowboy Bebop on Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. Also felt like this. Mm-hmm. There are parts of One Piece that also felt like this, but Cowboy Bebop did this, but it was even worse. They did it with Dutch angles every fucking time.
They did this in this. Yeah.
Were there Dutch angles in this one?
What is with Netflix adaptations and random Dutch angles?
Yeah.
There's a thing.
I fucking hate it. I think it's just like a cheap way to like.
I hate Dutch angles.
Like in post, you like can just be like, this needs some more edge.
Yeah.
Dutch it up.
Like, it seems so random.
Yeah.
There's a time and place for a Dutch angle, for sure.
Yes.
But it's like random establishing shot.
Like, why is it Dutch? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
So Dutch angle is when you literally just like rotate the film.
Yeah.
Like
imagine you tilt your head to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Dutch angle. Yeah.
30, 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, overuse of Dutch, it just like.
That screams to me amateur.
Yeah.
Amateur director.
It's like when you first get an Instagram and like you put the preset filters on everything.
It's like they're playing at the shots. What can we do to make it more exciting? Dutch angle. Dutch angle. Yes, I love your thinking. Okay.
I maybe have more, but like that, that's probably good enough.
I have stuff, kind of more particular stuff. So I want to revisit, talked about Sokka and Suki.
Oh, how could I forget? Yeah, go ahead. But yeah.
They changed what the relationship was, but I think what's missing is that this episode was supposed to be Sokka confronting his sexism, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen.
They just skipped that beat.
They sidestep it. There's a whole bunch of discourse about this. I was seeing articles come up. Yeah, just in the past, like before the show aired.
I think it's fine.
I agree with the discourse, though, that this is an instance where the show is too afraid to muddle in that.
Yeah.
That they take it out. And I think the show is worse for it. I think it would have been better if they came out the gate. In episode one of the animated series, it starts out with Sokka saying, leave it to a woman to ruin whatever my fishing.
Oh, woman's so voyage. Strong. Girl.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And then she immediately says like, you are the most sexist, blah, blah, blah. And she gets all mad. Right. that's part of Sokka's character. Is and it makes sense for this adaptation too, where he's kind of an asshole and he's doing that because he feels like he has to be this man in this place that there isn't a man.
You know what? I feel you. I feel you. Because I remember distinctly Nikki calling out that scene.
Yeah.
And being like, that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of, especially girls, watching this back in like 2003 or something, 2006, I don't know. I think that probably was one of the first times they've heard it articulated and that you're allowed to articulate that and be frustrated by that. So I think that's important. Yeah, you're right.
I think this is sort of like a, I know we talked about like woke in past.
Yeah.
This is an example of people trying in some weird way, they're trying to be like woke.
Huh. Okay.
And I hate using that word.
Yeah.
Because I think it is vague and meaningless. Yeah. It means nothing. But in this case, it's the showrunner said, okay, well, this is a icky, yucky part of the show. I think they literally said it was iffy, Sokka's character. Huh. And so we need to cleanse that. But I disagree. I think you would take a character that has a negative trait.
Yeah.
And then they grow and they learn, actually, I can learn something from women. This Suki is a way better warrior than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I can become a better warrior myself, a better man, a better person. And you get that in the original. You don't get that here. I think that's the biggest thing that's missing. But I want to, you had something to say about Sokka and Suki.
Oh, yeah. So I, now that I hear you, your take on it, I do agree that there was a progression and I like the progression. It just started off like very like.
It's very awkward.
It turned into charming, but initially I was like, you're legitimately creepy, Suki.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, when she kept showing up.
Yeah, like you're in heat. Like you're like thirsty, girl. Like,
yeah. The first moment is her spying on him changing.
Yeah, but
which don't like.
So like, okay, a good example. Maybe this is me. Am I being double standard? I don't think so. So like a really great example is when Captain America steps out of his chamber after getting roided up. And then the actress like momentarily like touches his pec. That's an iconic scene or iconic like little film thing. It serves as like a way to like very lightly be like, oh, she's like smitten by him. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think it's because I'm trying to say like, oh, women have to be more like dainty like that. I just think like she was like straight up creepy.
Yeah. It did come off that way. I agree with you.
I think it's more the editors than the actor maybe, but they just held that like a little too much. Her just like kind of staring down at him.
Felt creepy.
Yeah.
Felt creepy.
But later the chemistry was good. When they were doing katas together, like the forms, you weren't supposed to take that literally, right? Like it was a bit of like instruction and then like Sokka was like randomly like picking up moves without her saying anything. Like it was more of a theatrical kind of thing. And I thought that was good.
I did giggle when they were, it was like the two of them in the dojo.
Yeah.
I was giggling at that. I couldn't take that seriously. Yeah, honestly, it's like this episode, I don't have that many specific things. I'm like, that didn't work. It's just, as you said, the biggest thing is just overall. Everything that we talked about so far. So I don't have that much to add. Actually, I want to pass along from Nikki. She said this is both her favorite and least favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
Is right when they're about to leave the Southern Air Temple, there's a scene of Aang and there's like tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
That looked weird. That was goofy. Dude, we both laughed when we saw that.
That was eye drops.
It looked like.
But that's what I mean. That was needlessly such a tight shot.
Yeah. The PA came in, put it there, and they're like, all right, action, go. Before it falls out of his eyes, go.
Yeah.
But it felt weirdly contained.
Yeah. He's like, okay, squeeze your eyes so the tears stay there. Yeah.
I laughed when I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, other critiques. It doesn't even like, I'm not going to, it's going to get boring saying the same critique over and over, but like there was more breaking of the show don't tell rule. A lot of like, let me tell you how I'm feeling. Let me tell you, like, let me show you. There's one specific one where like in the show, we understand that Aang feels a certain way by doing something versus in this episode, he just said it, but I forget what it was. Yeah. But, I also was thrown off by how Kyoshi didn't come off dignified to me. She came off a little bit like...
She's very aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive. But then afterwards, I was like, maybe that actually kind of checks out with Kyoshi, though.
Well, yeah, because we did learn at the end of season 3, that's how she is. She's like, if there's a threat, take care of it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
She's different than Roku.
Yeah. So I guess that's fine. Even though she was a little bit more, you know, reserved, like on the turtle.
I know what you mean, though, that she doesn't resort to yelling and screaming.
Yeah.
And I think that holding that back.
Yeah.
It makes the characters feel more powerful than they are.
Yeah.
That they don't need to get bogged down in these emotions.
Like earthly that, human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's my Eastern ancestral thing in me.
She's hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. She didn't. She felt like a 27-year-old, not a 3,000-year-old like celestial being. And also, keeping on the same. So I do think it's cool that they added these shrines. What that implies is that like we'll see other avatars pop out. And I think that's a really cool way to like have good live action visuals and action. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more story beat driven. I think it's a way for Netflix to keep viewers hooked.
Mm-hmm.
It's more commerce driven than art driven is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think it allows you to have less screen time of the kid and more of these like better trained big actors. We're going to see Avatar. What's his name? Kubo.
Yeah. They did say that in the episode descriptions that he's going to talk with Avatar.
Yeah. So we're going to see Karuk, and Karuk maybe will probably come out during like the North Pole fight or something.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of cool, but I do think it's a little bit more commerce driven.
Yeah.
Just calling out another thing. I recognize this episode. Like there's a couple shots where Aang is a floating voice. It was like a reshoot on the shot where Aang is talking. Like they just show something completely different. And it's like,
and then he keeps talking. Yeah.
There was a few moments like that.
Can always tell.
Yeah.
All right, should we go on to our fix it?
I guess that's what we've been doing this whole time. God, yeah, okay, no more bogus thesis. What's your fix,
yeah.
Eli? How do you fix this?
Yep, yep. So here's the thing, is that on paper, this episode really works, I think.
Yeah.
On paper.
Yeah, fine.
I would keep a lot of what they had. I would keep Avatar Kyoshi doing what she did. I like the dynamic with Zuko and Avatar Commander Zhao. The fix it? The big fix it is we need to dedicate a little bit of time. I'm okay with subtracting a little bit of Sokka and Suki time if it gives us a little bit of Aang and Katara and whoever else that wants to join just doing something fun.
Yeah.
Like a kiddie thing. That's, I think, the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Is we need some of that. That's the first thing. Second thing, tone down the creepiness a little bit.
Yeah.
Suki. Just a little bit. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not even going to say like fix the blocking, fix the new directors, right? That's obvious. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't say too much. I just think, because as I said, it works on paper. Fix those couple things, and I think it could be a good episode.
Yeah, I think my fix it would be similar. I think in the beginning, you start off a lot less ominous, them playing with like the big eel fish thing and having like a surfing moment or like a more of the splashy splashy. Segue that into Aang. If you remember the episode in the animated series, a big part of this episode was Aang like getting chatted up because these 5-year-olds want to get his autograph, you know? And they do make a nod to that when he airbends like a spoon to a girl.
Mm.
But I think if they really ham that up, that's like a fun, youthful thing to do. And then you transition into the Kyoshi seriousness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't change too much about the Zuko storyline, to be honest. I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I thought, tone down on the creepiness. I think that's a little bit more of an editing thing and a pacing thing. I thought Kyoshi stuff was fine. I do worry, again, if you show that much in episode 2, like how does that scale from here into season 3?
To be fair, in the original episode, what happens is he becomes Avatar Roku for a second and everyone sees him as Avatar Roku and they're like, impossible, how could he be back? And then he like splits the whole building in half and like magma shoots out. So that was a big Avatar moment.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it was just enough. It wasn't all four elements.
Yeah.
Basically firebending.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think those are the main points. I did just remember that I also really liked seeing more of elements and bending. I liked how the water looked when Katara was by the river.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the airbending, how it looks right now, but I think I'm okay with it. And the firebending versus Kyoshi Warriors, I thought that was actually really good. It was believable.
Yeah.
It was believable that Kyoshi Warriors with metal fans would be able to hit it away and like stand a chance against the firebenders. But the fire seemed like threatening yet. Like anyway, like they just power matched firebenders with like Kyoshi Warriors really well. And I thought that was really well done. I'm just getting more and more thoughts, man. I I understand why they didn't bring in the rhinos or like the Shershus this episode. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of budget for something that you can miss out on. And like, I do think they could have spent some money on the big fish though, because I think that's really cool. I think that's how I would fix it. The biggest things. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to amend my fix it a little bit and just say, basically everything before Aang talks to Kyoshi, take out all of him being stressed. Just make him completely carefree until he gets to Kyoshi, and then Kyoshi's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You need to get to the mission. Like that also would make sense.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, he's too angsty right now. And here's another thing that I wanted to point out. Like, there's multiple things. One is the scene where he kind of convinces Suki's mom, leader of the village, to like let him stay. And it was just not compelling at all. I zoned out. Like, I was drooling, nodding off. Like, just like, he does not carry that scene the way that he could. So like, doing that another way, I think, is another fix it. And then the second thing I noticed is that we are asking for Netflix and the show to show a lot of play, a lot of joyfulness, right? Because that's what we love about the original. That's how we think audiences get involved. I think how Netflix is doing this is they're using TikTok and content using the cast to supplement you feeling like you're part of the crew.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's actually really capital efficient. It's just fucking shitty way to do art, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Netflix understands marketing and TikTok really well.
Mm.
And I do think, I could imagine if I'm like a Gen Z kid, like a younger Gen Z kid, and I'm seeing these stars on Netflix
that
doing
your
like,
age.
Yeah, like doing variety programming, doing like, we're in the cast of Avatar. Of course we're going to blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. I'm in the cast of Avatar. Of course, blah, 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 blah.
I literally did see them do that TikTok.
No, exactly. You build this affinity with these faces and these personalities that really you should be building in the show, in my opinion. But like, I think Netflix is bolstering the lack of that in the show through social media programming.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you. For me, it doesn't count unless it's part of the actual thing. It's kind of like when people say, the newest Star Wars show has plot holes. It's like, oh, well, they explained it in the comics. I don't care about the comics. I'm not going to read the Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
I just want to watch the movie. And it's a complete good movie that stands on its own.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's time to thank our sponsor.
All right. Who's our sponsor, Eli?
Sponsored by Hinge.
Sponsored by Hinge, baby.
Even if you're alone in a small town, you can just set your location to some other place.
Match people there. Yeah. To the water tribes, find yourself a good water boy.
Maybe Sokka and Suki should have done that.
Yeah.
They could have skipped this weirdness.
Yeah.
Gone right into, as soon as they arrive, first night, Sokka could have got that smooch. First night.
Your mom won't let you leave the village? Get on Hinge.
You can't online. Thank you for watching, everyone. If you enjoyed this podcast or this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Send me a DM, whatever you want to reach us. Tell us what you think. If you have any bogus theses, we're collecting them right now. Anything at all for all of the original series, actually also for this live action series, or any particular episodes, anything. Send us your bogus theses, and we're collecting them for an episode. And we'll see you next week. Peter, you have any words of wisdom?
Don't be too proud to learn from someone you like.